presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. America's ace of the airways, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan. Say, gang, lately I've been doing a lot of talking about our air forces and their up-to-date developments for our aviation of the future. While all this research and building is going on, many of our commercial airlines are busy, too. Besides joining in the hunt for new and better planes, the airlines have been doing a lot of work expanding their service to the American shipper and traveler. You know, there's no faster way of getting any place than by air, but regularly scheduled lines just can't take off or land anywhere they want. They've got to have set routes and timetables all made up in advance. Just a little while ago, United Airlines made a new and important improvement in its service. United Airline mainliners now shuttle between Denver and Los Angeles and make regular stops at in-between cities like Grand Junction, Colorado, and Las Vegas, Nevada. If you're up in your geography, you know that Denver is the gateway to the great and beautiful West. Stretching past the mile-high city are the states of Utah, Nevada, and California. Those are great tourist areas, as well as business states. That's why United Airlines' new route from Denver is so important. On a short vacation, a flying trip to the West may save precious days. And on rush business matters, there's nothing like an airplane speed. It all adds up to improved traveling conditions for American passengers and faster handling of cargo. In just a few minutes, I'll be back with more interesting information on United Airlines' new route and a new step forward in aviation. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. The theft of Dixie Davenport's wonder horse, Sequoia, and the startling reappearance of Joe Bell, her pilot, the following morning, has thrown the motion picture location camp into an uproar. To keep Dixie occupied, Ivan Ivanov, the director, suggested work, and the boys left for the set at once. But Dixie, pleading for a few minutes to fix her makeup, stayed behind. When finally Mr. Ivanov sent his assistant to call her, he came running back shouting that she was gone. Now the camp is almost completely disorganized. Ivan Ivanov, roaring his displeasure, has locked the door to his quarters. Hop and Tank, puzzled and more than a little worried, hurry over to Dixie's dressing room.
For Pete's sake, what got into her? Why'd she go running off?
That's what we're going to find out.
She was awful upset about Sequoia. Maybe she blew her top.
Oh, no, Tank. Dixie's a pretty level-headed girl. She was all right when we left her.
Yeah, but you know dames. They nearly always fold in a clutch.
I know, that's a pretty broad statement, pal. You better not let Gail ever hear you say that.
Oh, Gail's different.
Here's the dressing room. Come on, I'm going in.
What do you expect to find here, anyway? If she's gone, she's gone.
Tank, look.
Huh?
Joe's still here.
Looks like he's asleep.
Is he? Close the door.
What's the idea?
Go on, close it.
Okay.
What? Oh, it's you, Mr. Hart.
Yes, Joe. Sorry we woke you.
Oh, that's okay. I've been lying here trying to get rid of my headache.
Oh, of course. You were slugged.
Uh-huh. That guy really let me have it.
Did it hurt much, pal?
Pretty bad, Mr. Tinker.
You should have been more careful.
What'd you say?
Skip it. Tell me, Joe, where's Miss Davenport?
How did I know? Ain't she with you?
No.
She was here a couple of minutes ago putting on some makeup.
Oh?
Yeah, she was going out to shoot another scene.
She didn't show up.
What?
Come off it, Joe. You're not a very good actor.
What do you mean?
It's quite a trick to be able to fall asleep and then remember how much time has passed. I know I could never do it.
What are you driving at?
How do you know Miss Davenport was here only a few minutes ago if you were really sleeping?
Well, I thought that...
What did you tell her that made her leave camp?
I didn't tell her anything.
Did you by any chance give her the instructions she was waiting for?
What instructions? I don't know what you're talking about.
Hop, are you sure you're figuring right?
I'm positive. Now listen, Joe, you made a terrific entrance this morning, falling unconscious off a horse and then telling a beautiful story, but I didn't swallow it. And I won't swallow this latest routine either.
Why do you get off talking to me like that? I ought to punch you right in the nose.
Sit down, you.
I will not. I'm getting out of here.
A very rapid recovery.
Sit down, Bob, or I'll knock you down.
You can't get away with this.
Who's going to stop me?
Joe, sit down.
No, I won't.
Pop said sit down.
All right. You don't have to get tough about it.
Now, let's get down to facts. Start from the beginning, Joe. What really happened last night?
I told you.
I want to hear it again. A man wearing a black scarf over his face surprised you while you were stretched out on your bunk in the plane.
That's right.
He told you to start the engines.
Yeah.
How much flying time do you have, Joe?
Over 1,000 hours.
And do you mean to say you couldn't have faked trouble?
He had a gun. I was scared.
I see. Then Miss Davenport arrived with Sequoia. You met her at the ramp and took the horse inside.
Yeah, that's what I said. He was holding a gun on me all the time. I couldn't do anything else.
Where was he standing?
Why, he was up in the flight compartment.
And you were at the ramp. That's a pretty tough shot, Joe. He would have had to lean out the cockpit window to get you, which would give you plenty of time to duck under the ship.
I was afraid Miss Davenport might get hurt.
She could have gotten under there, too.
I didn't think, that's all.
Or else your thinking was done for you. Then you said he forced you to take off. You flew the ship according to his instructions, but you didn't know where you were going.
I told you, he kept the compass covered.
The magnetic compass?
Yeah.
How did he cover it?
Why, with his hand.
How many hands did he have, Joe?
I don't get you.
In case you've forgotten, there are at least two other compasses on the panel.
Why?
Maybe he grew a couple of extra hands to keep them covered, too.
You're trying to trick me.
You've tricked yourself. Now, come on out with it. Where did you take Sequoia?
I don't know. I tell you, I don't know.
You know, all right.
I got mixed up. We turned so many times.
You'll find compasses can always keep track of those things.
But we were heading west into the mountains the last I remember.
How far away from the camp were you when you landed?
I don't know. You got to believe me.
Like fun, we will.
Now, Joe, we'll get down to what happened only a few minutes ago. What did you tell Miss Davenport?
I.
If you say you didn't tell her nothing, I'll shove this fist right down your throat.
Well?
I gave her a message.
What message?
Go to the Timberline Hotel in Barstow.
And?
That's all. Just go there, register, and wait.
Why didn't you tell us before?
I was only supposed to tell Miss Davenport. He told me if somebody else found out, he'd kill me.
And that brings up the last point. Who is he?
I don't know.
Listen, Bob, I'm getting tired of hearing
that. I don't know. His face was hit all the time. I never saw him once.
You want me to pound it out of him?
No, leave him alone. That's all you have to tell us, Joe.
Yeah, but honest, I didn't have anything to do with it. I had to do what he told me.
I have my doubts, but we can't waste any more time here. Tank.
Yeah.
Take him over to Ivanov. Tell Ivanov to hang on to him until he hears from us.
What are we going to do?
Fly to Barstow and see Dixie. I'll get the beach ready. Go on now, roll.
Come on, Plunk, move. And faster, I'll give you the call my phone for it. Come on, never mind turning around. Just move.
Catch her, Hop?
Well, near as I can figure it, she has about a half-hour lead on us, but Barstow's only 60 miles away. With luck, we should get there about the same time she does.
Hey, suppose that little punk Joe pulled a fast one. Maybe he's sending us on a wild goose chase.
Oh, no, I don't think he'd try anything now. He's caught and he knows it. Say, what did Ivanov say when you took him in?
Well, we blew his top. Started yanking his beard and yelling at the top of his lungs. Honest, that guy's nuts.
Oh, well, he's very concerned about Dixie.
Well, listen, have you figured out what we're going to do after we see Dixie, I mean?
No, but she shouldn't try to handle this thing alone.
Yeah, she's only a girl. Hop.
Yeah?
You think Tex will come across?
Come across?
Give Dixie back her horse.
Frankly, no.
Oh, Hop.
Sorry, but that's the way it adds up to me, pal. Tex has a tiger by the tail now, and he can't let go. I'm afraid if we don't find Sequoia before Tex makes a deal with Dixie, we'll never see that horse again.
Hop makes a grim prophecy, but a logical one, and so opens the throttle wider, sending the beach craft roaring through the late morning sky. They must find Dixie before Tex Regan contacts her. There's a startling climax to today's episode, gang, so stand by.
Just a few minutes ago, gang, I was telling you all about United Airlines' brand new regularly scheduled flights from Denver to the Pacific Coast. And you can take it from me, it was a pretty exciting day for the airline when the first plane took off. There were about 200 people gathered around one of United's giant mainliners on a Denver airport that morning. Then up stepped a pretty moving picture starlet, raised a bottle, and smashed it over the nose of the great four-engine ship. After that, a group of governors, mayors, and businessmen boarded the plane for the first flight along the new route. It was a thrilling moment for the line officials when the DC-6 took off smooth as a bird and headed west for Los Angeles. Just 3.5 hours later, the plane came down in the Pacific Coast city with the same ease as the takeoff. That same day on the return trip, the ship landed in Las Vegas. And at the Las Vegas airport, another crowd gathered around while the movie starlet branded the plane. Sir, the mainliner got branded just like a cowboy brands a steer. And that, fellas and girls, is what happened on the first trip over the new route. This is only a small example of what American airline companies are doing to make their service better. Whether it's a new route, or new and faster ship, or a new gadget that makes plane travel safer or more comfortable, the airlines are on the job. And that's the tip-off on how our entire aviation industry operates, always with an eye to improvement for the future. Keep this in mind, gang. Aviation looks to the future. And if you want to join the increasing ranks of the pilots and technicians of tomorrow, get ready now. It's none too early, regardless of your age. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Arriving in the small desert town of Barstow in record time, Pomp and Tank went immediately to the Timberline Hotel and, checking the register, found that Dixie had arrived only a few minutes before. Without announcing themselves, they went up to her room, but her greeting was most unexpected.
What are you two doing here?
What? Dixie, we've come to help.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, but I don't need any help.
Oh, now, Dixie, you can't handle this. It's too dangerous.
Yes, I can, and I will. Now, please, Hop, go back to camp and leave me alone.
Sorry, nothing doing.
Hop, you'll ruin everything if you don't go.
I'm sorry, Dixie, but you can't deal with Regan.
Oh, he'll double-cross
you. This is the only way. Now, will you go?
No.
All right. I'm sorry, but you asked for it. Help!
Help! Jump for Jenny.
Dixie!
Please!
Dixie,
help!
Stop
help
it!
Help me! Stop
hey,
it,
Dixie! Put it out, for Pete's sake! Dixie!
Hurry up, they'll get away!
Are you out of your mind?
Help!
Dixie!
Here, what's going on?
Get them! Call the police!
I'm the house detective, ma'am. What's the matter?
They were trying to break into my room.
What? She's crazy. We didn't do no such thing.
Oh, yeah?
Officer, it's all a mistake.
Don't you listen to them, officer. Here, look. That one tried to pull this ring off my finger. It's worth thousands of dollars.
I didn't. It ain't true.
All right, you two. Now, come on.
No, just a minute.
Get your hands off of me. No, rough stuff, big boy. This gun will cool you off fast.
Oh, yeah? Officer, will you please let us explain?
There's nothing to explain, officer. I caught them in the act.
Come on. We're going down to the station.
Oh, but you must listen to
You'll have to come down and press charges, ma'am.
Oh, I will. I'll be there in a few minutes.
Okay, let's go. Now, move.
Let's go.
Protesting furiously, but in vain. Pop and Tank are forced down the hotel corridor at gunpoint as Dixie turns and closes the door to her room. Gang, you won't want to miss the next episode in Hops and Tank's new adventure, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same mutual station.